or which section to look at in the manuscript that I've given her. The problems of serving God and remaining faithful are magnified by the fact that these are not matters of a one-time deed or facing one particular trial. If life were a matter of dealing with only one particular trial, then it could be much more easily dealt with than it is. I think in the Bible of a number of stories about men like Asa, what a good king he was when he began. And so if we could have frozen his life at that point, and that was all there was to Asa, then we'd have a good story about Asa in the Bible. Or we might think about Uzziah, good king to start out with. So many stories, if we could isolate and focus on one of the episodes, just that one, and let everything be judged by that one episode, then the outcome would be a whole lot different than it is. But life is like a long journey. And like a journey, it involves many different aspects, challenges, circumstances, changing abilities and strengths, and a variety of temptations. Now, this is what makes up life. Life is not just one time, it's not just one episode, but it's a whole bunch of them. And that's one of the main things I want to emphasize to you, because being faithful doesn't mean being faithful right now and that's it. Or I was faithful last week, or 1 year in my life I was faithful. It just doesn't work that way. We have to gear ourselves up for a life. When one becomes a Christian as a young person, and as many of you have done lately, when one becomes a Christian as a young person, he must realize that he has signed on for the whole trip. You've signed on for the whole trip. And if it's a normal trip, it's going to be a fairly long one. And you didn't just sign up for the first day. You didn't sign up for just some event later on. You signed up for the whole trip. So whatever the trip involves, good or bad, you've signed up for that whole trip. And you need to be aware of that. Prepare yourself mentally for a prolonged effort. And I want to talk to you about that effort this morning. We human beings are a perverse lot, in that often we do not appreciate what we had until we have lost it. And we do not grasp how wonderful a time may be in our lives until we look back upon it from many years later. Sometimes we do not realize how much we have hurt someone, or how much we have failed to do for someone we loved until it's too late to do anything about it except grieve and pray for forgiveness. So it is with youth. So it is with being young. Even when one thinks that being young is the pits because of the limitations and problems that one has, there are blessings that one is enjoying at that time, which he does not realize until he no longer has them, such as energy, muscles that don't ache, a body that does not tire, and gravity is a negligible factor in everything you do. In other words, now when I'm standing in a foyer in an elderly lady drops something on the floor, I do not dash down to get it because she'll likely beat me. And I've noticed things like gravity gets stronger by the end of the day. And sometimes it increases toward the end of the week. It is one of the greatest tragedies that often we hear of a small child who is horribly mistreated and killed. And we hear things like that on the news. And it's just a terrible thing. Not even something one wants to dwell on. Here's a small child, horribly mistreated and killed. And what should have been his Garden of Eden, being a little child in the loving embrace of a family, what should have been his Garden of Eden became his hell. But of course, a child who thus dies has his ticket punched straight to heaven. Nevertheless, it wrings our hearts to hear of such a thing. Here, a child ought to have the right to be comforted and to live in paradise for a little while. That's the only paradise we get to have at all on earth. And that is if, as a child, we are in the bosom of a loving family and so on. A small child was used by Jesus several times as an example of what His disciples should be. Matthew 18, Matthew 19, many other passages. Little children are not responsible or accountable to God. And that's a good thing to remember. It is a sweet time, but sometimes it's not very sweet. It depends on how the children are treated. Sometimes they're greatly blessed, but sometimes they really have to suffer. And that's always very, very sad. Little children are not responsible or accountable to God, but if they grow up, they will become responsible. They will become accountable. And so you can't say, you know, here was paradise in my life. Well, paradise is not going to continue always. You're going to have to deal with changing circumstances. So I say again to you that that's one of the points I'm emphasizing in this lesson. That being faithful is not always going to involve the same strengths. As you go through life, being faithful will not always involve the same strengths. As a child grows, he becomes very aware of limitations placed upon him, and he encounters difficulties of all kinds. Now, one of the vivid memories I have as a little boy, and I think, I don't know, maybe women have a more vivid memory of early events, but I think that a lot of times we men tend to have little pictures that we can remember. But one of the pictures I remember is standing with my mother. We had walked from where we lived to where we could catch a street bus. And we had walked there, and we were waiting on the bus. So naturally, I was trying to see the bus, but I was so little. I couldn't see very far. Well, my mother was a fairly tall woman. And man, I mean, she was really a tall woman, you know, when I was little. And I would think about her up there, what she could see. And because I was little, I couldn't see that. Well, that's a memory that, you know, stays with me to this day. And so I am able to remember that even when you're a child, just because you've got everything supplied and all that, that doesn't mean everything is going to be just happy as can be. A child is aware of the limitations placed upon him, and he encounters difficulties, and sometimes these difficulties can be very severe for a child. And I wish it didn't have to be that way. But it happens. It happens because of choices that young people make, and sometimes because of choices that their companions make. And I think that as one approaches the age to leave home, and here I'm dipping back into my memories too, and I believe I know exactly how you feel because I remember how I felt. What's happened to the microphone? Okay. All right, there we are. For me to leave that home that I had known was like I was going to take a trip to the moon. It was such an enormous, enormous thing for me. I remember that well. And I think as one approaches the age to leave home, though he may look forward to trying his wings, he also is secretly just a little bit afraid of the changes that there are going to be. And life becomes a journey at that point without knowing exactly where one is going. And sometimes you feel like you don't even know what the exact route will be. And it can be somewhat frightening. Thus, life during the teenage years and the years of early adulthood are difficult, and no one completes the whole process in one day. You don't complete it in one day. You don't complete it in one month. You don't complete it in one year. If I could just get through this day, if I could just get through this week, I will be all right. No. It's going to be a matter of years. And the way has dangers. And you're going to have to realize that it's going to take time. And if you're not careful at this period of your lives, when you get through this period, if you get through this period, your life may be in complete ruins. You may be miserably joined together in marriage with someone that you really did not mean to spend the rest of your life with, or you will be divorced and you will have become a faithful servant of the devil. If you're not careful, all of those things can happen to you in this period. Can you be faithful for a week? Can you be faithful for a week? Well, great. But it's going to have to be for years of weeks. And you may not always feel especially thrilled about what you're doing. You may be discouraged, but you keep on. That's the secret. You keep on. And if you keep on, you will come out on the other side. That's one of life's great secrets. And it's right out there in the open. And people don't see it because it seems so ordinary. But it's one of the great secrets of life. You keep on. You do not give up. Even when you feel like giving up, you do not give up. You keep on, and you come out on the other side. If you let the Lord guide you faithfully, you will be blessed as I have been blessed. Let Him make your decisions for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God, and He will exalt you. One of the most important verses, I think, in the Bible is Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep the fountain of your heart and your mind cleaned out of all the debris and of everything that would defile it. Establish good habits. Bring yourself under control. Don't get into drugs and alcohol. Don't take up pornography and fornication. If you do, stop them. Stop them. Any harmful habit can be stopped if one wishes too badly enough. You can do it. Do not be a slave to any kind of a habit. Conquer those bad habits. Having good habits and eliminating bad ones is a matter of finding out what is in your mind. What you do and the habits that you practice will indicate far more what is in your mind than anything you can say. Remember the exhortation of Moses in Exodus 23 and verse 2. Do not follow a multitude to do evil. Many young people prize independence. Be sure it's independence of the right kind. Independence from the right things and not the wrong things. Do not let religion be your tether. Let it be your passion.
The particular problems that you're going to face are that you do not yet realize that youth and the dawn of life will not last. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 10. You see, you are immortal at this point, and death will not come your way. The evil day is far away from you. I'm warning, that's a danger you face at this age of your life. That will tend to be the background of your thinking and your planning. So the danger is that you will actually believe this and fail to prepare for the reality that awaits you. Now, realizing that this period of life is here today and gone tomorrow, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Enjoy this period of life. Enjoy the things that are good. Let your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. Now you must deal carefully with your physical bodies. Your physical bodies at this age are like a huge and powerful automobile in the hands of a six-year-old. The six-year-old does not know fully yet how to control such a powerful automobile. And you have a very awesome physical body that you're not fully ready to deal with. It is capable of doing more than it should do. Your physical desires are at their height. Do not play around with them. Do not think that you are stronger than you are. Do not take chances with yourself. Remember the admonition of Paul, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Young married adulthood. Congratulations. Congratulations. You have made it through the minefield of adolescence and early adulthood. So, you're to be commended. You have arrived at a most wonderful time in your life. You still have energy to burn compared to what it will be later. You have the perfect marriage and the perfect children. And if everyone else knew how to do it, they would too. Be sure and write your book now, both on marriage and child rearing. It would be far better to write it now than later. With some, unfortunately, they have not come through the previous period unscathed. But I am making the point that even if you did have your struggles in the preceding phase of life, your race is not finished yet. If you live a normal lifespan, there is a lot of living ahead of you. And there are some particular dangers that you are going to face. I should tell you, the devil has redecorated the cares of the world. He has done a complete remodeling and paint job on that. He's redecorated the cares of the world. You know, the ones that choke out the word so that it becomes unfruitful. Matthew 13, 22. Because you see, you have a good job. You and your wife both. And you're both working. So you're making tons of money. So you can afford to make a mortgage payment of a few thousand dollars a month. So there's no need to wait and work hard and save for a better house. No need to deny yourself anything. You can afford it. Go ahead and get it now. Credit is easy to get. So it's the same with the cars, the big screen TVs, the designer clothes, all the toys. And we can offer the disclaimer that, well, now, none of these things are wrong in and of themselves, but I'm afraid that in many cases they are not in and of themselves. And guess what? Peer pressure has not stopped. You thought you were going to get out of that. Sorry. Peer pressure has not stopped. Not only the peer pressure, but the competition to see who has the most toys, which is a kind of a peer pressure. Jesus said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." And it is this kind of thing which can seem so ordinary and so much a part of life, and everybody is doing it, that can rob us, or can choke out the word, the cares of the world. But the devil is also a time thief. He knows that he's not going to get most of us with drinking and fornication and atheism, but he also knows how easy it is to dangle what you really like before your eyes so that you spend all your time on that hobby or that sport or that pursuit, and there is no time left at eventide for prayer or Bible study or any kind of spiritual pursuit. And it's not just in the evening, any time during the day, during travel, so on. There is no teaching of the Bible to children in many cases. We're too busy. And I say again that the warning of Moses in Deuteronomy 6:10 through 12 is right on target. When everything is going great and prosperity is, as it were, dumped into your lap, be careful lest you forget God. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, how long will this period last? There are no hard and fast limits, but your children will grow up and leave home. And that's when you're going to find out pretty quickly how well you have done in your efforts. And your book on how to do it may need to undergo a revision at this time, if you did write it earlier. But thanks be to God, the job can be done. And the fruit can be enjoyed for a long time. But remember that you're not only going to have to be faithful the first happy year of marriage, or the few years when your children are little and you're enjoying having them at home at your feet. Your journey is continuing. Your journey will continue. It is not over. Stormy winds may lie ahead. If your three-year-old dies of a virulent leukemia, you're going to have to find some way to deal with it and not give up. And I choose that illustration because in my life, I remember dealing with a family who had to do that. When your wife dies at 30, leaves you with three children to raise, you're going to have to meet this awful trial some way. And again, I knew people that did that. If a wife or a husband decides that she or he has had enough and they reject any further relationship with you, you will have to deal with this enormous, staggering problem. I fervently hope that these things don't happen to any of us, but they have, and they will, and we will have to deal with them. We must plan to be strong, and we must remember that life is not just a moment. It's not just a day. It is a whole lifetime. We get to middle age. The children are gone. You're in your 40s and 50s now, and you've made it so far. Boy, is that a long time. Why, I can remember someone who was born after I finished college, and he's now married and has children of his own. Boy, I've lived a long time by now. You've been struggling to be a Christian for over 20 or 30 years by now. Isn't that great? It is great. But it's not over. It's not over. The journey is not done. You're still on it. And you can't give up. harbor is not in sight. The journey continues. Do not forget that. Though bad health can show up at any time, this is when the first inklings of physical problems may occur. Now, I realize there are exceptions to nearly all of the things that I've said, so far as age and things like that, but generally, this is so. And when you begin to have some of these first physical problems, you will begin to face your mortality. And it's a lowering thought. Sometimes people in this age decide that life has just passed them by. It's a time when one's true faith may be tested. Religion may have been a farce all along. And at this time, suddenly, marriages may be broken. People enter into affairs. Life may be destroyed at this age as well as at any others. You may find that you have been wrong about some cherished belief of yours. Sometimes people build a rather artificial, tightly knit system of belief based somewhat on facts and somewhat on faulty reasoning that does not hold together. And when one finds out he's been wrong on that one cherished belief, there is a tendency to throw the entire system out and to reject it all. Why? Why do that? Why do people do that? Why does being wrong on one thing mean that you have to be wrong on everything? Does that follow? No, it does not follow. It is an exceedingly dangerous thing to do, but this is the time of life that a lot of times people will do something like that. Throwing out the entire package of your convictions may be the occasion where you fail to endure to the end, as Jesus encouraged us to do in Matthew 10 and verse 22. Falling away from the living God, Hebrews 3 and verse 12, happens exactly this way. It is a far better thing to study carefully what you believe and be sure that it is based upon Scripture and reaffirm the eternal truths of God's Word. Did Jesus not come to earth? Was He not prophesied in the Old Testament? Did He not die on the cross? Was He not raised from the dead? Did He not ascend back to heaven? Are those things not true anymore? Oh, they are true. They are still true. They will always be true. Do not lose sight of that. There are going to be more problems at this age to depress you. So dealing with your attitude will be very important. You have to give a lot of thought to your attitudes. Your carefully arranged life may sometimes unravel somewhat as things happen that you did not plan to happen. Your children may demonstrate to you just how little control you have over them when they are gone. You will be impressed with how little control you have of what other people do. Caring for aged parents will begin during this period. And also doors to the past will begin to close as beloved ones, the first beloved ones in the family begin to pass away. But life is not over. The race is not run. The fight is not done. You've been a Christian for many years now. You may be a little tired, and sometimes life seems to be a little bit long. And it seems I've been doing this for a long time. Satan may raise all sorts of questions in your mind. But if you have applied yourself in the years that have gotten you to where you are, you should by now have accumulated a lot more wisdom than you used to have. Look to God more and more. Instead of neglecting Him, look to Him more and more. Take more time to read the Scriptures and meditate. Wherefore, girding up the loins of your mind, set your hope, be sober, and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13, it is certainly a time for doing that. Old age, the devil is not through with you yet. The devil is not through with you yet. You may be thinking that he's paying attention to all these others and he's finally leaving me alone. No, he is not. And you must not think he is leaving you alone. He is not. And he will not leave you alone until life is over and you are beyond his reach, beyond his power. Life is not over, and the need to be faithful remains. Health and strength depart. And the beautiful but melancholy description of Solomon in Ecclesiastes comes true. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. I have to tell you this. When I was in a meeting at Prattville just recently, I was staying with Jim Owens. Jim has visited with us here. I know the Crafts know them well. They're wonderful people. But as Jim and I talked together, Jim would say, he was going to tell me something. He'd say, years ago, and so I would be saying something, and I would say, years ago, and so then I got up and I was preaching. As I was preaching a lesson, I was saying, years ago, some illustration I was going to use, and years ago, and so I stopped and I said, Brother Jim, have you noticed how you and I have gotten where we put years ago in front of everything? You do that. And at this time, the future is somewhat fearful, knowing that the things that one dreads, the things that one has dreaded, are nearer. The time when that beloved partner is going to be gone. Is near. Sickness and death are nearer. Many times loneliness becomes a terrible problem. But you have been through a lot. You're not a novice. You've been through a lot. You have survived hard times. And this is a time to remember something else that is nearer. Heaven. Heaven. Remember that separations in old age will not last for long. That's a blessing. In Jesus, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54, 55. There is some other good news here. I think it's important for us to share that. You know, all along I've been saying the race continues. Life goes on. The good news, the end of the race is in sight. Be kind of good, won't it? To finish it. And remember that God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. You have far too much invested to give up now. Therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And this is where the refuge is. This is where the comfort is. And let us reach out and seize it. There's not much left to comfort in this life, but there's a whole lot to comfort in the next. In conclusion, I have sought to say that we need to realize that Christianity involves a whole life, not just one super moment of living. And we must be sober and watchful, because our enemy, Satan, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he will pursue that task throughout our entire life. Now, I just quoted 1 Peter 5:8 about Satan, our adversary. I'm now quoting the very next verse. Whom withstand steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in our brethren who are in the world. We are all in this together. Young and old, we're all in it together. And we need to help one another with the journey. We need to encourage one another. Take your strengths and use those strengths that you have at your station of life to encourage others who perhaps do not have those same strengths now. The strengths will change, but the temptations, the trials, they change also. But together we can encourage one another and we can help one another. And it can be done. Sometimes it's almost a fearful thing to say that this is going to go on for a long time. Worse, not to realize that. It's got to be realized. But let me tell you, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. Are you a Christian? Why not become a Christian today? So that it can be worth it. And that's the only thing that will make it worth it. Why don't you become a Christian so that it'll be worth it? And so that you will have the promises of God and the strength that comes through those promises to sustain you through all of the changing aspects of life. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and be baptized to have your sins forgiven. If you're a child of God and you've been unfaithful, make your life right. Repent. Come back to the Lord and be absolutely faithful in His service. Don't let up. Don't give up. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, we hope you'll come as we stand and sing.